This week's parsha is the parsha a lot of yesoidus, and one of the main yesoidus we find in this parsha is the parsha of the man. Now everybody likes to dream about man. We wish we had man, and people think that it's something that once upon a time was. However, the Torah is a Nitzchi. And as it being a Netzach, it means that the Parsha of the Mon is Nogeya to us today as much as it was then. People don't realize that the man that we had in the time of the Midbar is exactly the very same lechem that we eat today. And the Torah tells us two messages, two lessons that we're supposed to learn from the man. But first of all, the Torah gave it tzivui that to take a tzintzenes, a flask of the man, and to put it away, l'dayris. The question was why? Why do we put it away, l'dayris? And the answer is because the Torah is letting us know that the story in the parsha of the man is exactly noigeya then as it was today, no less. And that's one of the most important lessons we have to deal with, because the sugya of parnasa is a very preoccupying sugya. Most of us grow up hearing our parents either complaining about parnasa or worrying about what we're going to have and what we're going to do when we grow up, and how you're going to have parnasa, and how are you going to marry off your children, and how are you going to feed your children. And this is like, if you ever meet a person, a Baal Bos, you sit down and talk to him, within 5 minutes he's complaining to you about his parnasa. You're wondering, that's the sugi you live in. So you always tell people, have you studied the parsha of B'Shalach? Now, there was a number of yesoidas that you have to know. Yesoid number one is, Torah says, Vayamoidu ba'omer, Klal Yisrael was told that you have to take from the omer, from the man, a very limited portion per person. You could not take more. It says, V'loy he'edif hamarbe, v'hamamit loy hichsi. You have to realize that there was a challenge. And Chazal tell us that many people try to take an extra scoopful. They figured that, no chabissel. Man, you know, yeah, Hashem doesn't mean I should take another barrel maybe. But, it wasn't the pshat that I'm taking away from anybody else. There was enough to go around. There was, Hashem l'chadchila brought more that everybody needed. And a person came, he took some man, he brought a little extra. He came home, it was gone. He measured it. Then there was a guy, he decided, I have 10 kids. I have to schlep here 10 oimers, 10 measures. My back's hurting me. But not with us. I don't want to sleep so much. So the guy next to him told him, don't be a battling. What are you, a battling? A battling, you have to take what you get. And the guy took less. And he came home. You know what happened? He had exactly what he needed. Not sure he sufficed. It grew. Hashem says, if you understand that the likut, going to gather the man, was just an exercise in amunah. That was the whole tafkid of going to collect the man. It wasn't for his shtadlus. Because the rai is, if you were tzaddik, it's felbaydo. Felbaydo. And if you were tzaddik, whatever you wanted, you thought, I want to eat steaks, it was steaks. You want to eat tofu, it was tofu. Whatever you kind of, whatever was your pleasure, that's what it was. was no din of ishtadlis. For a person who needed more exercise in Amunah, because the person wasn't on the madrega of Shleimus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you were Dar Midbar. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made it be a little further away. And you had a mutshirai, and you had to convince yourself, my mutshirai is garnished. It's just a tikkun to make me be miskarev to Hashem in order I become more aware of Hashem. And if I get to my destination and I take too much, and I think, it's a garnish, I could have to write more. You come home, you find it. You continuously learn that. That's what the first lesson. A person has to realize that there's nobody that you and I know who is not mishtadel to make more parnasa. I never met, I didn't say never, but you don't usually meet people who are, if they shmek an opportunity to get more parnasa, they won't seize it. An extra job, some more phone calls, if they push themselves, they push their wife, come on, you have a chance, have a chitimtzi, you can make more money. That's it, a mensch. Know what that is? But it's a chayin nefesh. The guy is not from here, the guy missing in his amun. He's missing, he's one of these guys that came home, you know, you're going to find out at the end of the day, but you're going to be taloyim. I've had many people tell me, oh, look, I got more money. I say, oh, wait till the end of the year, and you'll see. And many people say to me, I remember a doctor, I was pleading with a doctor to come Shem Shabbos. I told her, I had promised the time you're getting your panasa for the coming year, Rosh Hashanah. You could stand on your head, you could spit wooden nickels. You're not getting another panasa. I told him, that's the time. I said, my panasa, 90% is from Friday afternoon through Sunday night. Monday I'm closed. Why? Because I'm an allergist. He's a big allergist. He said, the time for people don't go, it's not a heart doctor, you go whenever they give you an appointment. Allergists make their money on the weekends. So I told him like this, Goyish allergists make the money on the weekends. They made a study. I said, you didn't make Jewish allergists. From allergists don't make their money on the weekends. He said, I'm going to be a pauper. So I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll make a deal. I said, let's talk to your accountant. But it has to be from Rosh Hashanah. Tell me the last 3 years. What you earned from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Tell them to make a cheshbon. And after we make that cheshbon, we're going to take off for 6 months in Shabbos. I said, really it should be a year, because Hashem may test us. But I believe Hashem's going to show us in 6 months. I said, let's make a test. Don't work for 6 months. Let's see, if you see your parnasa went down, according to you, you should be broke in 6 months. No, you tell Hashem, I tested you, and even though you're not supposed to test Hashem, but you'll see what you're going. And if it goes like that, you'll see success. The guy did it. And the guy told me, not only did I not lose, I even made my expected 3% more than I was looking forward to making this year. So he said, if anybody came from 100%, Baruch Hashem has kids in Brisk, and he told me, if anybody wants to know if it works, I tested and it works. I know it's very hard, but this is the Messias. Now, everybody tells me, but the mice, I don't have panos. I get this call day and night. I can't tell you. I tell people, let me ask you a question. You know what the lesson of the man is? That Hashem, naturally, Hashem provides for a person. That's what it is. Hashem provides for a person. That's a natural expectancy. If Hashem brings me to this world, it's not something Hashem says, you have to earn. You have to do. There's no such thing. It's baloney. You may have to pick it up, you may have to do some small thing, and if you have the more money you have, the easier it's going to come to you. But this whole baloney with Hashem helps those who help themselves, or this shtadlis narishkeit, it's all narishkeit, it's not good boy than anything. The person that learns Mesul Shisharim, learn Beis Halevi, I was Makabas, my Zayde, from my Rebbe, from Brisk, from Beis Halevi, there's no such emetzis. And not only that, it's an offer in a mission. Maybe not everybody has that shita. As we take a look in the last Mishnah, in Kiddushin, the last page, it's a Mishnah. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides panosa for the biggest animals to the smallest creatures. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Natural. Just like he provides life, he provides panosa. So the Gemara says, you see, people don't have panosa. So the Gemara says, I was mekapeach. I put blockages in the pipes. And my blockages that I put in the pipes diminished the zach. Yes or no? It diminished the zach. And because of that, the minish the zach, so you have to figure out, for example, a guy goes into his house, goes to the basic kisei, and he makes a flush, and it doesn't go down. It starts back up. What does he know? Does he think the basic kisei broke itself? No. He says, obviously, somebody put something in there, and it got stopped up. It's mukher chazeh. Something happened to be a blockage. It doesn't break itself. It's not such that one day it decides, it got old, it doesn't go down. Water goes down, it's gravity. That's a rule. With pressure, you have a pump, water goes down, it's goodbye. The person has to understand that the Eitzah HaYeutzah, everybody tries to make an end run around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They think, what kind of Eitzah? I should go to school, I should do this, I should do that. I'm going to try this part. Parnasa is Ketsuvim. I told people, the time you should be putting all your Koiches is an El. Because that's when Hashem is deciding what's going to be your taktziv for the next year. Most people think if the wife gets a job in June, now they're set for the next year. The taktziv is decided at the end of El. And that's the lesson of the man. And that's why we have a tzinsenes haman with deiris. And Rashi brings down this parasha that in the times of Yirmiyo Hanavi, this was a challenge. People were working, and they weren't learning. So Rashi said, they came to Yirmiyo Hanavi. They came to the people, and he said, Tari Matheila, what's going on with Lenin? Panosa. Daf Macha Panosa. Daf Essen. So he take out the tzinsenes haman. He says, see this? The dust ice, they should have said, boom, what kind of rise? They got my big chalik, you gotta be from the midbar. Maybe we had another COVID, maybe we had this you know, the clothes grew on your back, and you had air conditioning, the first air conditioning in history, and the hills weren't straight, so then maybe you don't need it. They didn't say that. You ever said, you see this? Hashem told me to show this, to put this in the middle, to this a simon, le dairi dairis, as they would say. Is this a very difficult thing to accept? Very difficult. You know why? Because this takes emunah. That's number one. And we all grew up on the opposite of emunah. We grew up on the yesodis of kefira being baked into us, nochamol, and nochamol, and nochamol. From 6 years old, your mother said to you, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? Ma noichal. You say, man, it'll call. Oh, no, come on, you're going to... That's so you grow up, and that it's very hard to get that out of your system. That's number one. Number two, you have to understand, there's a problem with the Muna. There's a pasuk. Pasuk says like this: V'yodato hayoyim v'hashivoyso elavavecha. I saw recently a nerdy kasha in the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says it doesn't make any sense. You know why? Because v'yodato hayoyim. What does yidiyah mean? When a person says v'yeda, knowing means with clarity. Das is not just stamps. Das means a yediyah, it's a chibur. Vayeda odom is chav ishto, it means to say you mechubur to the yediyah, it's yediyah chushes. It means you have klor das. It's not some shkafala, it means I have das. So a person has yadato hayoyim. You know klor in your das, you have absolute clarity that Hashem will likim, b'shamayim ima'al, ozra. And then it says, v'hashem oysa levech. So the Chafetz Chaim and Nerdik Yosait. He says, in Emuna, there exists something which doesn't exist in any other area. And that is, you could know Emuna as clear as possible. In your mind, in your seichel, you believe without a doubt, Asadat Kodesh. You have no suffix. But to live like that, Haloch Lamaisa, not Shaykh. Until and unless, because in other areas it could be you don't have to do it. Don't say in other areas that. Don't say if your data tzitzis vashivoyis alavecha. Says in emuna, if your data hayoyim, since you can have the best idea. You can have a guy saying leaving Hashem in all his mouth, and the other hand, great mishnah kodesh baruch. Because the hashivoyis alavecha is a totally new avoida that's required in the area of emuna, and that. No one does. So either the actual yediyah in emunah, you grew up faker, you never even got clear facts, and you hear from one guy you have to make a shtadlus, one guy have a mesiras nefesh, now a pasuk nefesh teichel, and you gotta suffer if you're learning and this and that. And other hand, well, person has to know this is what emunah is about. And you got to put it in Kishkas. Once told my Talmidim an interesting story that brings this Moshel home very powerful. It was a fellow. The guy's name was Hugo von Eppes III. He was a tremendous, he knew how to tightrope walk. That was his specialty. He could walk a tightrope like nobody else. One day he decides he's going to be the first guy to walk across Niagara Falls and show the Welt successfully we can do it. So he announces in the paper a few months before, lets people know, this day I'm walking across the falls in a tightrope with all the everybody's been there, you see what's going on over there, it's gefährlich, the winds, the vapors, the water, the power. Comes the big day, and Hugo gets on the thing, he waves to the crowd, and he gets on, he walks, comes to midway, turns to the crowd, he takes a bow, I should show him my makes one of his jobs, and then he goes right, and he comes back. He gets off and they clap and matu, and he says, who's the greatest tightrope worker in the world? And my shrine, Hugo! Who's the best? Hugo! Okay. He says, come back in a few months, I'm going to walk across this thing blindfold. Oh no, blindfold. And like, word got out. Bigger crowd comes next time. Ooh, now it's some matzav. It comes the big day, and Hugo gives a shmata to some other guy in the crowd. He says, tie it around my eyes, so like, tight so I can't see. Steps out on the thing, and he starts walking across, slowly but surely, step by step. The island was having this. He gets around the middle, he walks weiter, comes to the side. Who's the greatest in the world? Who do you believe in? Who do you trust? Who do you know? Everybody says, Hugo. He says, now for my last trick. In 3 months from now, he says, I'm walking across with a blindfold, and I'm having a wheelbarrow, and a man is going to be the wheelbarrow. And I'm going to walk across with the guy in a wheelbarrow. Ooh. And now, already, the vice president said he's going to come and watch this. He also said, Merechen, the Gracious Achen over here. And the guy shows he's a professional twice. And he goes the second time, he goes the third time, a few months later, and the crowd in the newspapers, everybody's dancing like. And then before he gets on the rope, he says, can anybody say, who is the greatest in the world? You go. Who can do this job? You go. Who do you trust? You go. Okay. Let me have one volunteer from the crowd sit in a wheelbarrow. And all of a sudden, deafening silence. I'll just shine. You go. No one can do it. You go. No one's getting in the barrel. We trust you. But you go along with the barrel, nobody in there. You want to put a dummy in there? It's fine. I'm not sitting in your barrel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the Emes, Shimcha Emes. At the Kodesh, Shimcha Kodesh, Mechal Tachai, Mechetzes, Akal Mimcha, Eilei Muvadei, Avlamai Hashem, I'm not getting in your wheelbarrow. You got to understand, that's the Ander Avoyte, Vashmoyzel Avecha, Al Shrei Hashem Melech, Al Jamolach, Al Jamilach, Shema Yisrael, Kabbal Yisrael, Malch Shemayim, Kabbal Yisrael, Avlamaisa, it's a Lamaisa Hotish, is it, by saying. You got to understand it, by saying. This is the Avoyte of Avoydes. Every moment you have this thought. This is a mitzvah to me, this culture. It's for you to go home and to think. And you know what? You should know that what you have is garnished. Whatever you have, it's what Hashem, and if you get out of your system, somebody says, yes, this is what's going to happen. The next day, you have all food. You believe in Hashem? Yes. Okay. The next day, we have a conversation with somebody. Says, how do you make ends meet? So, well, my mother gives me this, my father gives me this, and my wife makes this, and my curl this. You believe that that's how you had parnasa. You don't for one second believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zon u'mefarnis you. How does he do it? Yeah, of course it's your Baruch Hu. We're talking about b'teva. Everybody's talking about b'teva. No, b'teva means you have no Baruch Hu in your life. And if you have no Baruch Hu in your life, that's the greatest reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to makapeach his heart. I was Zeicha Baruch Hashem to have 10 daughters. I knew I was going to be a millionaire. I had no suffix. But I wanted to have daughters sitting learning. I wasn't shy. I wasn't going to work. I wasn't thinking of going to work. I'm not shy. So I decided to be a chacham. I'd be a chacham. I'd be a chacham. So I decided, you know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do is, I'm going to save money. I'll leave them my sugar from day one. The Rebbe's in Sirotskin. And I didn't pay rent. So I think I'm going to put away $1,000 a month. And if it's machen episode, make investments here along the way. And Baruch Hashem, I had investments. And my first daughter was ready to get married. And I had invested already by somebody, a good friend of mine, a Yedid, the guy from Brisk, $420,000. That was with the total package, with the profits, with everything. For 2 weeks before my first wedding, I think, Baruch Hashem, I was a chacham, I prepared myself. Hashem helped me. I was in New York for buying things before the wedding. And I got a phone call. My good friend. I said, Hashem, my wife, what's going on? He says, are you sitting down? I said, no, I'm standing up. I said, sit down. I said, whatever it is, I can take it standing up. I thought so. He said, you know the money you've been investing for me for the last 8 years? Yeah. He said, I can't live with myself anymore. It was Gneva Mehaschola Ad Hasur. I said, what? I sent you to lawyers. You showed lawyers invoices, bank checks. He said, listen, I'm not stupid. I'm not a kishon. That was my ishtadlis. I spent my energy. He said, I studied metals. He used to give me shiurim aruchim in metals because he was working in precious metals. He was talking about alloyed metals and alloyed steel and aluminum. And if I heard from shiurim, the ones he says, it was all my study. I was studying for this. Not only you. A lot of people they used to. He bought one time, came to have 100 tons of airplane propellers. I got a deal in a century. People should put in money. It sounded so. And he had. I never did it without a lawyer. The lawyer said, man, it's gold. It looks very good. It looks good. He said, the ganze Sache geben bluff mit Lakshin. There's no money. Zero money. So I decided, okay, what do you do now? Now I married my first kid in 2 weeks. I was going to support him for quite a few years. And how's it going to be? So I said, you know what? It must be that Hashem wants to show me that it's not because I saved. I thought that it was because I saved the money that that's why I'm going to have money. That's what I thought. But Hashem said, Loike. So, called my first Adam. I told him, Hesed, my dear Adam, I'm going to give it to you monthly. Instead of one chunk, some, I'll give you the month. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And it worked out. How it worked out, I don't know. Then came my second Adam. The second Adam came to a meeting. The two parents were there, and the guy's father says to me, you know, this is what I want. I want an offen tish up front. Don't give me bitachin. I don't want the emunah checks. I want to see the cash, or I'm not going to the chas. I'm not doing this. I'm telling you, he said, I don't want to fight. We're friends from kids. He said, but I don't want any fight. This, I want a kid to learn. I want a kid to steigeis. This is what it's going to take. I said, don't worry. You'll have the money before the chuppah. So chuppah was 6 weeks away. My wife kicks me under the table. What are you doing? So my wife woke up. During the meeting, and my wife said to me, what are you doing? They're going to mess the shidduch up. This guy wasn't joking around. He's not going to go for the shmuzin. This guy wants to see COT, cash of a tish. I said, oh, sir, that's fine. I have no problem with that. She said, what are you thinking? I told me, I said, questions. This shidduch, did I go looking for the shidduch? No. Did I do any shtadlus for the shidduch? No. What had happened was, I knew somebody in yeshiva 3 years before. And I asked that bachur, tell me who the best bachur in that yeshiva. Give me a name. I said, that guy? I said, I knew his father. That's his son. Ask him if his father's name is this. He came back and said, yeah, it is. Mari said, what do you care? What do you ever ask people's name in yeshivas? What do you care about? I said, I don't know. But Hashem made me ask the question, and it's for a reason. 3 years later, I knew the reason. Shatzin called me up, said, I have a shidduch for you. So what's the guy's name? I said, my answer is yes. He said, you don't want to check it out? I said, no, I don't have to check it out. This is my shidduch. I said, you're crazy? Tell me. You never heard anything. I said, I like to move fast. Hashem gave me a message 3 years ago that this is my zivuk. I have no suffix. I said, I asked a funny question, I got a funny answer. I still remember it from 3 years ago. It means by me it's a simen. I start by Riyah. Ebrek Medeshiach. And it came to Shidduch. The Shidduch worked out 1-2 days, it was finished. So I turned to my, now I was Atilich, I was so certain about it that the night they were going out the first day, my Mechutin was going to Israel. So I called him on the phone. I said, my entire Mechutin. I said, Mechutin? We're not Mechutin yet. I said, we're Mechutin. I said, I give him to make a suggestion, don't go to Israel. He said, why not? I said, by the time you get back, the Shidduch is going to be over. You don't want to miss the fun. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Vezen. I can't tell you everything right now with the Vezen. I'm telling you, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be over. And it was not going to start on Sunday night. We went out Monday morning for breakfast, and by lunch it was already over. So, my wife told me, did I do the Shidduch? Not doing me. The Shidduch has absolutely zero to do with me. So you think the Rabbi Nishalim, who brought me the Shidduch, is not going to provide the money? If that's what the guy's tenai is, you think the guy's not going to do it? I learned this, this sipur I learned from Isaac Osman. Because many years before that, I had read of Isaac Osman the Shidduch, a Talmud Chacham Muflig in Eretz Yisrael, Muflig. And the guy made a serious tenai, either he wanted a top shteller or he wanted a large amount of money. And if Isaac told me, tell him we'll give him the money. So I asked his Rebbe, there's not shaykh. So I went back and I said, Isaac, you know, this, they're not joking around. They want to know how you're going to pay for the thing. So listen, if this is my Shidduch, I have no suffix, you're going to supply me the money. But if you think it's your Shidduch, and you think you're choosing, and you think I'm choosing, Yen is choosing, you got to let the person drive the bus. Leave the driving to us, that's what Greyhound says. Relax and leave the driving to us. You try to be a second driver, it's not good. So I did it. And I hear Yom, and I told my wife, don't bring it up, please, to me. We'll see how it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm not the Rebbeinu Shalem. I'm not going collecting. We'll see how it happens. Nope. Four weeks after we go to New York, my wife said, we had to buy something for the wedding. So, on the way home, my wife says, no, you know, 2 weeks to the wedding. I said, 2 weeks or 2 weeks? I don't have to worry. I had an insurance program from Switzerland. So $40,000 I knew I had, but it was $60,000 I needed. That was the ikker. The kids are... I come home, I got a few days' mail. I'm going through the mail. And there's envelopes there. I open up one envelope. There's a roadblock in it. I see it's a check. Just $20,000. And the check had a fold in it, you know, one of these folded checks, like a professional check. I open it up, and I see behind another check, $20,000. I open it up, I see a third check, $20,000. I open it up again, no more checks. Okay, tell my wife. Chevitzin, Higia Kesef. The money's here. She's from who? I said, I have no idea. I called my Mechutin up. I said, I have the money. Where do you want me to send it? And the thing was, I didn't know who sent it to me. There was a name over there. When I went, it was from a company in Lakewood. And when I went to Lakewood, I saw there were 9 businesses that had that name. And after Sheva Brachas, we made the Sheva Brachas, I decided I had some time. I'm going to call up. And I made appointments by 5 of the companies. And I came back to the third, I went into the boss, and I said, Shalom Aleichem, you know, my name is Sobrad, you know me, so I heard your name. I said, tell me, did you perhaps send me $60,000? He said, oh, first 2 guys told me, no. This guy told me, you know, oh, you're the guy I sent it to? I said, yeah. So he told me, what happened? He said, I'll tell you. So a number of years ago, I made an investment with somebody. The guy told me he's a Talmud of yours. And what happened was, he said, when the thing kicks, this is the address, that's where we send the money to. So I never looked at it, I never looked into it. And then one day I looked into it. I saw it, it's working. I wrote a check for 20 grand. An hour later, looked again, I saw a move. I said, oh, it must be a schooler. So I made another 20 grand. An hour later, I saw one up again, I wrote another 20 grand. I featured 20 grand, I put it in the mail at the end of the day. I told him the story. I said, you should know. You know, I was saved the day. I said, you were shliach. Hashem saved it. Why do you think you thought about it that day? Because Hashem decided that day it should happen. Now, the story goes on. What happened was, this story, I thought it was over with. This story happened 10 years ago. I thought it was over with, really. Now, I get a call last June. Last June, I get a call from a lawyer in Baltimore. And he said, I want you to know that the money that guy gave you was part of my money. I was a secret investor. And I never realized the profit, because by the time we were ready to cash out, the thing had dropped, and I didn't make any money. I put my money back. So, don't talk to me. I didn't get the money from you. I got the money from somebody else. You go talk to this guy. Send him to a friend, a Talmud of mine. He calls him Talmud up. Talmud says, Rebbe, the guy's crazy. I mean, there's no such thing done. And he said he looked him up on the line, and the guy was a lawyer. He was disbarred for criminal activity, the guy. I said, I don't want to start up with the guy. Tell the guy he'll have his money. Tell the guy he'll have his money. Tell him we're only going to give him $30,000. No more than $30,000. So we're going to get it from him. He said, I'm not sure. But if I have to, the same one who brought it to me the first time, we'll have him the money. Nope. July 3rd, somebody davened shacharis by me, and after shacharis, he said, I want to leave you a check. Put a check on my desk, overturned, and I didn't look at it. He went left. When he walked out, I looked at the check. It said $30,000. I knew the guy was going to call. The guy called the next day. The guy called. I want my money now. I said, where should be sent? I was sent it. I made a copy. I keep the copy in my drawer to remind myself whenever I get a little of this. When Chazan says, Einel Mavadai, there's still man, and the man's still falling, and it's in sentence of man as L'dayr Dayris. But you have to understand it's only going to happen on Yidei V'Hashiva Yisrael V'Vech. Good chaps.
That wasn't the same.